for our second reading, which is found in Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power, and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom seemed meet unto me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their back under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord hath spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, You shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests and to all this people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars and concerning the sea and concerning the bases and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, as we saw last week, so also this week, the chronology of this prophecy is indeed very interesting. So this prophecy comes to Jeremiah. Notice it says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. In the beginning of his reign. Now, let's also remember that Jehoiakim was not the son of Josiah, but the grandson of Josiah. Okay, there was one intervening king between Josiah and Jehoiakim, and that was Jehoahaz. So Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, then Coniah, which was renamed Jehoiakim, and then Zedekiah. Okay, so we have to remember that in order to keep this chronology straight in our minds. This prophecy then comes to Jehoiakim at the beginning of his reign, or it comes to Jeremiah at the beginning of Jehoiakim's reign, and he reigns for about 2 decades. Then Jehoiakim reigns for a very short time, less than a year, right? And then Zedekiah after him, again for about 2 decades. So, during the days of Coniah, or Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar comes, takes him captive to Babylon, and takes a goodly number of the artifacts out of the temple and the king's house, but also left a goodly number of them. Okay? And so that's what he's describing here in the history. Now, this prophecy comes then some 20 or 25 years before Zedekiah. And yet, I have the distinct impression that this was spoken not only to Jehoiakim. Calvin thinks it might have been just kind of, if you will, tucked in the vest and kept until the days of Zedekiah. Well, that may be true also, but it may also be that it was spoken in the days of Jehoiakim, and then later on, when Zedekiah came to power, it was certainly spoken, because that's what we have in verse 12. Okay, so the chronology is important to remember. The Lord has been consistent in the message, just like we heard last week, with regard to Jeremiah, who began his prophetic ministry during which king's reign? Anybody remember? Josiah. So he has transcended all of those kings and will also be there when Jerusalem falls and will write the Lamentations. So Jeremiah's is a reign that is very long. And we know why he is called the weeping prophet, because he sees this judgment coming for 50 years. Okay, with that then, let's go ahead and dive in to the chapter. The first commandment is that Jeremiah is going to use a prophetic object lesson. This is very common. We see this happen all the time with prophets. Ezekiel is told to do it. Isaiah is told to do it. Here, Jeremiah is told to do it. And he's told to make yokes and bands, yokes and bonds, if you will. And he's just to pile them on, to put them on himself. And then, after having done that, he is to give them to the messengers, the ambassadors that come from all the nations around Jerusalem, that come to see King Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, and he's to give them those yokes and to take them back to their masters and tell them what the Lord says. Here's what the Lord says. I made everything. It's all mine, and I have a right to do with it what I please, and so here's what I'm about to do. I'm going to tell you. I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to. I'm going to bring every nation under the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember what we said last week about how the Lord, or why the Lord does what he does? That it is not because he has any great concern, any saving concern outside of Israel in those days. Actually, his concern is for the church herself. Whenever the Lord moves in what we would call in our day geopolitical events, listen to me very carefully. These are not secular movements on behalf of the Lord. The Lord moves, as we heard earlier from Psalm 72. He takes the political, the natural, and he bends all of those things in such a way that they serve redemptive ends. We even prayed this today when we pray, Thy kingdom come. We prayed at the end of that prayer, following the larger catechism, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the advancement of His kingdom, would so work in the kingdom of His power, that is, who He is as God, over all the nations of the world, and over all the cattle and the beasts and the land, that He would work in the nations of, kingdom of His power to bring these redemptive ends forth. And that's exactly what we see here in Jeremiah 27 and 28. We saw 24, 25, and 26 as well. Okay, so the Lord is advertising to all the kingdoms of the world that He's going to give them all into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar because Judah needs chastising. That's where he's going. Now, having said that then, send these yokes, send these bonds, send this message. I have made all the earth. I'm giving it to Nebuchadnezzar. You can either cooperate with that or not. If you do not cooperate with it, then you will lose your nation. And if you do cooperate with it, He will conquer you and you will remain in your land. That's what He says to all the nations around. And remember what we said and what we'll read about later in the 30s of Jeremiah is that the people of Judah get up and try to escape Nebuchadnezzar and they go to Egypt. And all they did was put a target on the land of Egypt. So now Nebuchadnezzar rises up and invades all the way from Mesopotamia to Egypt. You got to understand, that's a long way. And yet, that's exactly what happens. Okay, so we note then, the dividing of the message. The dividing of the message. There is something to be said toward the people of God and something to be said toward the nations of the world, and the people of God are to take up very specifically, with much interest and circumspection, what the Lord has said. We must understand how important it is that we hear the Lord when He speaks. That we hear the Lord when He speaks. There will always be, as there were in Jeremiah's day, and if you think I'm exaggerating, wait till we get to chapter 28 and the prophet Hananiah. He's going to confront Jeremiah face to face on what Jeremiah has said from the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, this is nothing new. The prophets were rising up in Jeremiah's day saying there's going to be peace. And the Lord had not promised peace. The Lord had promised the sword instead. How many voices are there out there today with regard to national policy, in treating heart difficulties, in ordering the family, in borrowing and lending, in defending the innocent? How many voices compete for the loyalty and fealty of the citizens of this nation and also for the citizens of the kingdom of Christ? How many are calling to you saying, believe this, believe that? There is a dividing of the message in Jeremiah's day. There are those who stand and speak, quote unquote, in the name of the Lord, but they speak out of their own heart. And then there are those who stand and speak the word of the Lord. When the Lord speaks, then, we ought to listen. What does He say? Learn not the way of the heathen. Love not the world. Hide my word in your heart. Incline your ear to my word and not to covetousness. These are the things the Lord says. And these are the things we must hear. All right, so now we come to verse 12 then, and we come fast forward to the days of Zedekiah. Notice, first of all, the heavy price of disobedience. The heavy price of disobedience. This is a palpable consequence that will come upon the people who will not do what Jeremiah is commanding them to do by the word of the Lord. Disobedience is punished with severity. But there are other kinds of things that happen when we turn our minds, turn our hearts away from the word of the Lord that are perhaps even more egregious than what Jeremiah is talking about here being taken away captive. There's the hardening of the conscience. There's apathy in the things of God. There's satisfaction with a sloppy and feigned obedience. There's excusing and giving leave to ourselves for failures and sins without any repentance and without any new obedience. There's weaning our affections away from the things of God. The private duties of religion, the public duties of religion, speaking the truth in love. Remember that these also are judgments and that they are persistent and that they are indeed more dangerous than being carried away captive. And they come upon a people for refusing to hear the word of the Lord. Then notice also that those who would seek to draw you astray, they will not draw you astray with an austere message. It will always be with a pleasant message. We won't have judgment. Nebuchadnezzar's not coming here. No, not at all. In fact, Jeremiah says, don't let them tell you that within 2 years, within a few years, within a short while, Nebuchadnezzar is going to return with all the vessels. Everything's going to be restored. Don't let them tell you that. If they were true prophets, they would be praying for the vessels that are here that he's coming for. Right? Isn't that what Jeremiah said? And so what do we have here? Brothers and sisters, those who seek to draw your attention and affections away from the Lord, they don't do that with a whip and a scourge. They do that with pleasant words, with attractive things, with pleasing things, by inflaming your sense of self-love and self-worth, and so on. So then finally, the chapter ends with the false promises and siren songs of the wicked. They are empty. They say there are no consequences. They say everything will be fine. Like the woman in Proverbs 7, she says what? Stolen waters are sweet. Maybe that's chapter 5. Stolen waters are sweet. And what does Solomon say from the word of the Lord? She does not say that the dead are there. They're not going to tell you the truth. But the scriptures will. The Lord speaking in His Word, He will tell you the truth. And then finally, the chapter ends with, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, including the sea. You know what the sea was, right? Don't think of the ocean. Think of the giant laver that Solomon built, that was supported on 12 brass oxen, each looking in one direction, right? Each three looking in one direction, north, south, east, and west. And then that sea, that it was called a bath or a sea, the great sea, made out of brass that was about 30 feet across. Even that will be cut up, melted down, and taken away to Babylon, Jeremiah says. As incredible as that sounds, who could ever move something like that? And yet, Jeremiah tells them that it will be taken away. And the Lord then promises that when He is done with His chastisement, those vessels will return. Thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 27. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.